Lindsay Homewood talking about cucumber negios.
Okay. G'day, everyone. I'm Lindsay Homewood. I'm from Sydney. And I'm Oxesis on IRC, if you want to tweet at me. And today I'm going to be talking about behavior-driven monitoring with cucumber negios. And originally it was going to be about that, but we've actually moved it a bit more towards behavior-driven infrastructure with cucumber negios. But I'll get into that a bit later. So it's going to be about Ruby, but not so much about Rails. And it's about something that I'm very, very passionate about, which is monitoring. So who here has heard of cucumber before? Okay, there are a few people. So for the people who don't know what it is, cucumber basically allows you to write executable specifications in a domain-specific language. So what you can see here on the screen, we have cucumber features, right? And they pertain to a feature of something that you're testing, right? And within that, you've got different scenarios for interacting with that feature. And what we're saying here is when I go to google.co.nz and I fill in the query text box with Wikipedia and I press Google search, then I should see that text somewhere on the page. And the way that cucumber works is it maps each of those steps that we saw just previously, like when I visit and I fill in and I press, to the small Ruby DSL. And you have stuff within these particular blocks that do that interaction with a website or some other system. So people have probably also heard of Mechanize, especially as we're all sysadmins here, right? So the thing that we care about is interacting and automating the interaction of websites. So in the Ruby world, we also have this other library called WebRat. And WebRat simply lets you write expressive acceptance tests for web applications, and it supports multiple Ruby web frameworks, so Rails, Merv, and Sinatra. But the thing that not a lot of people know about is that there's actually a mechanized backend for WebRat. So within Cucumber, when you're setting up your Cucumber environment to run your tests, you can actually say, I want to use a mechanized adapter for WebRat. So you can start being able to do cool things like this feature here, right? You can point it at the actual google.co.nz and test that it's behaving the way that you expect it to behave. And when you run Cucumber with the command line that you see up on the top line there, it will run through that, and it will execute each of those steps, and it will return a green for if it's passing and a red for failing, or a yellow if it's not implemented. And it'll give you a bit of statistics at the bottom about, you know, how that worked. And by default, it's using this pretty formatter, and the pretty formatter gets us the nice green, red, yellow, all that jazz. And it outputs on your terminal, and everything is good. So I do a lot of web development with Cucumber when I'm building sysadmin tools. And I thought, what happens if we combine Cucumber and WebRat and Mechanize together and Nagios? And then we have this thing called Cucumber Nagios. And what that lets you do is run these features using these set of steps at any website on the internet, regardless of whether it's PHP, Python, Ruby, ASP.NET, whatever, and will output that interaction in the Nagios plugin format. So you can write these generic tests and test any website in a very easy-to-understand, human-readable language. So how does it actually work under the hood? So what we do is we create, we install the Cucumber Nagios gem. It's distributed as a Ruby gem. And we generate a project. And a project is a grouping of features and that sort of thing for different sites that you're running, or it could be for a single site and testing lots of different parts of a single site, however you really want to do it. So we're generating a project called miniconf. We're CDing into it, and then we run this gem bundle command. And what the gem bundle command does is it pulls in all the necessary dependencies for running Cucumber Nagios in a self-contained directory. So it means you can just tar up your Cucumber Nagios project and put it on your monitoring servers, or you can run it locally or whatever, and it will pull in all the dependencies for that, and everything will work. So if we actually look at how that works itself, if we run, so here's one I sort of prepared earlier. So the gem bundler is really smart. It knows that I've already pulled in the dependencies, so that doesn't take any time at all. And if I do bin cucumber nagios gen feature for, say, sysadmin dot miniconf.org, and I want to test, say, the navigation. Okay, so it outputs that we've generated a bunch of files here. And it creates a dummy file just with a bit of structure to get you going. So what we're doing is we're going to this particular page and we want to make sure that the request succeeds. So we can actually start expanding that to do other things. So if we look at the sysadmin miniconf website and say when I go to news, for example, I expect to see, say, the call for presentations string. Right, so when I go to news, it's case insensitive actually, so which is pretty cool. Then I should see, Okay. And if I run that, features. Here it's telling me that there is one critical, zero warning, and two okay. And normally when you're testing stuff right, you may have bugs when you're writing your cucumber scenarios. So you want to find out exactly what's happening behind the scenes. So if we pass the debug flag to it, it'll tell me the full command line that it's executing. We can also do dash dash pretty, which will tell us exactly what's going on here. So when I said, when I go to news, which I actually did incorrectly, let me fix that. When I go to is going for a specific URL, and when I say when I follow news, it will actually interact with the link. So I run that one more time. I know that one's going to fail as well. So if I do the pretty again, right. And you'll notice here that it's failing because that actual text on the web page has got a link in the middle of it. Oh, crap. Sorry. Have you guys actually seen any of that? Oh, crap. Okay. Yeah, it's the projector. Can you guys... Oh, yeah. That's not any better. Sorry, guys. You'll just have to take my word for it that it's awesome. So there's a bunch of red there and a bunch of green. And so I guess you guys have seen the green. But we can modify that to actually check for a bit of text that doesn't have a link in the middle of it. But that's an example of a failure, right, which is sort of pretty cool to see. So now that we've bundled and we've created a bunch of features, when we run the cucumber and RGOS binary, the script itself, what it's actually doing is generating this command line here. And as you can see before with the debug flag that we passed to it. And the bit that's interesting here is this cucumber formatter for Nargios. And the way that's implemented internally is within the cucumber formatter namespace, we have a Nargios class. And we have an initialize method that just gets run when the formatter starts up, so when cucumber is booting. And we create a bunch of different arrays for failed, passed, and warning steps. And within the after step results here, so after a step has executed, depending on the status of that step, it will append that step into the relevant array. And at the end of running all those features, it does this print summary command here, which basically constructs a big text, a big long string, and then outputs it on the command line. So within the cucumber and RGOS script itself, what we have at the very bottom here is a remapping of the exit code from 0 to 2. And the reason we do that is when cucumber runs and a step fails, it will exit with an error status of 1. But what we want to do for our monitoring system is not generate a whole bunch of warning alerts. We want to generate a whole bunch of critical alerts. Maybe you want to do warning. I don't know. You can modify that, but the default is to do an exit status of 2. So that sort of leads on to behavior-driven infrastructure, right? Because I started developing cucumber and RGOS to take testing web applications and do that more generally in your monitoring system. But after talking with a bunch of people, we actually realized that it's actually, cucumber is a really good tool for describing behavior of systems in general, right? So Martin Englund from Sun actually posted some stuff. He did a blog post and a couple of example things with cucumber about interacting with different system level things. So interacting with DNS servers and mail servers and that sort of thing to verify that they are behaving the way that you expect, regardless of how you've configured it at the back end. We're not interested in verifying the configuration structure. We're interested in verifying the behavior of how our systems are performing, right? So we sort of come to this realization that Puppet and other tools of Atilk are a build tool and use Cucumber as a testing framework. So you can switch that around and start doing sort of test-driven development or test-driven infrastructure or behavior-driven infrastructure, where you write these tests in Cucumber and thus Cucumber Nagios. And you build the system after you've written these checks, you put them in your monitoring system. So your monitoring system is blaring at you that something is failing. And then you start writing your Puppet manifest or building the tools by hand. Building the system configuration by hand. And you iterate until you've silenced your monitoring system, just in the same way that you would do it with test-driven development, right? And the cool thing about that is, when using Cucumber and Cucumber Nagios, we don't actually care about how you're configuring those machines, right? So if you do a whole bunch of configuration with, say, Puppet, and you decide that Chef is the new hotness, and you want to migrate to it, you can use exactly the same features that you've written to verify that your Chef infrastructure, Chef-managed infrastructure, works the same way as your Puppet-managed infrastructure. Conversely, it also works on the other direction, where, say, if you've got a whole bunch of hand-rolled systems that are up and running, and you want to start moving towards a configuration-managed environment. So what you do is you write a whole bunch of behavioral tests for your existing infrastructure to verify the things are working are the way that you expect them to. Then you start puppetizing on a new set of infrastructure, run the same tests against that to verify that your hand-rolled infrastructure is the same as your configuration-managed infrastructure. And you can start doing cool things like this. So for a mail server, this is sort of like a high-level feature definition for how we want a mail server to be operating, right? That's not, the thing at the top of the feature file is never actually executed. It's just a high-level mission statement so people can sort of sit down and know roughly what's happening within that Cucumber feature. So we're saying here that I will have a bunch of local logins on the system. So I have no SSH key set, and I should be able to SSH into all these machines with this username and password combination. Then we could also do, say, LDAP logins. So if we've got a combination of the two, and the machine should be configured to be getting authentication information out of LDAP, you can test that in the same way. And finally, this is something that I haven't quite implemented yet, but it's on the way. You can start doing other things like sending mail. So testing that when I use this mail server and I send a message matching these particular parameters, it should be sent correctly. The next stage of doing that, obviously, is receiving mail. So knowing that if I send mail through one account, then it should be received through the other account, and that sort of thing. So that's sort of cool. There are a few caveats by using something like Cucumber Nagios. So firstly, most of these are actually web-oriented. I haven't really discovered a lot of the caveats for the system-oriented stuff, but some of these may apply. Obviously not the Ajax one. So the Ajax caveats basically come down to mechanized not being a browser, right? It's basically a glorified library for interacting with a DOM, and just a static DOM, right? So it doesn't understand JavaScript or anything like that. So if your pages are very Ajax heavy, it can be difficult to verify that sort of behavior. The trick to get around that is to use some sort of progressive enhancement or graceful degradation, where you build your web apps, or you get your developers who are building the web apps to make sure that it behaves the same way for people with JavaScript or without JavaScript. The other interesting thing is for existing features and steps. So if you're a Ruby shop and you're using Cucumber internally to develop all of your web applications, you can take your existing Cucumber features and put them into Cucumber Nagios to verify that what's happening in your development environment and testing environment is the same as what's happening in production. The only problem with that is the testing code that you're writing within, you know, Rails or Merb or whatever the Ruby web development framework that you're using tends to be that framework specific. So the way to get around that is by using being a bit more familiar with the mechanized backend and Nokogiri, which is a XML parsing DOM traversal library. That's really, really easy to use. So the question really comes down to, well, by this point, is why would I want to do stuff like this? And the problem with existing monitoring solutions is that they're essentially asking the wrong questions. So if we look at the sort of checks that most people are doing, you're doing a ping check or some sort of TCP connect to a port, which is basically saying, is my server up and can I see my application? The problem with that is it doesn't deal with a bunch of corner cases like VMs being dead but the network stack still being up so they still respond to pings, or say, a web application where half of the page loads and the other page, the other half of the page doesn't load, and the thing that you're checking for is only happening in the top half, right? So for all intents and purposes, your monitoring system is giving you false positives about the behavior of your infrastructure, which basically makes monitoring sort of useless, or not as useful as what it could potentially be. So the thing about using Cucumber and Argios is that it helps you write tests that are asking the right questions. Things like, is my app behaving? You know, can I go through a billing and checkout process? Can I place an order? Can I sign in? All these different things, right? And what it really comes down to is continuous integration and the parallels between continuous integration in development environments and monitoring systems. So if we look at a CI lifecycle, right, we have these four different phases of it. Like, this is a very simplified graph of the way that it works, right? So we've got the checkout, the build, the test, and notify phases, and it sort of happens in a big circle. So we can start thinking about monitoring as continuous integration for production applications, right? And being sysadmins, we're very, very lucky in that we can eliminate the checkout and the build phase because somebody's already done that for you, right? They've already built the packages for your operating system, yada, yada, yada. So if we've got a monitoring system, it's just essentially doing this notify and test phase, so we don't have to worry about that other stuff. And let's think, so if our monitoring system is a CI system, then a CI system is a monitoring system, right? So let's think about the sort of tests that you're running in your production environment right now, which are generally some sort of TCP connect or a ping or something like that. And let's think about running those sort of tests in your development environment, right? And think about the only tests that you're actually running within your development environment are, can I see my app? This makes absolutely no sense whatsoever that when you're developing an app, or somebody's developing an app, that the only question that you ask when you're building it from your testing system is, can I see my application? Right? It means that it could be doing something that you're not expecting it to do, but the only thing you're actually asking is, can I see my application? And that's essentially what a lot of monitoring systems and a lot of monitoring system checks are doing. The other thing that a lot of people say is this isn't new, and I completely agree with them. This is not new or fantastic or amazing, but it makes things a lot easier to write these sort of checks. And a lot of people say, you know, I can already do this with these different Argios checks. But the thing about using something like Cucumber Argios is that it simplifies that whole workflow. You can model these sort of checks already in your existing monitoring system if you use a combination of, you know, form interaction checks and you're clicking links and checking that machines are up and that sort of thing. But the problem with those is that essentially each line of that Cucumber feature file, for each step, you sort of represent as a separate check, right? But unless you have intimate domain knowledge about how all your checks interact with one another, it can be very difficult to understand that, you know, some check over here is failing and that's got some relation to some other check over there. Which with Cucumber and Argios, right, you can see all of it in one place, that all these different things depend on one another. So if something is failing higher up, obviously the lower stuff probably isn't going to work. And that's essentially what Cucumber and Argios is about. It's making reuse of existing checks trivial. So you're not writing the same code again and again for all your different monitoring checks. And the good thing about that is less code, less bugs. Less bugs, less alerts at 3 a.m. in the morning. So we're effectively optimizing out the process of developing developing Argios checks by reusing a library of existing checks that other people have used, other people have tested, other people have debugged. One of the other cool things about it is that it isn't just systems focused, right? You can also apply it to other things like telephony. So Jason Goak, who works on the Adhesion project, which is a sort of like a Ruby on Rails front end for Asterisk, he's developed a library called Telephony System Tests. And what that allows him to do using Cucumber is interact with his, go through his dial plans on his machines and verify that the dial plans are working the way that he expects. So, you know, going to this number and then pressing these particular extensions and all that sort of thing. And he can script all that interaction using Cucumber. And he plugs that into Cucumber and Argios, and it means that he can verify that his telephone system is working the way that you would expect it. And it's just another sort of check, right? You can write all these different tests for all these other types of systems. Like, I've given examples for web testing, mail testing. There's a bunch of file system testing stuff, which is sort of cool as well, but you can go off and you can write your own tests, generic steps that you can then give back to other people, you can use internally, and everybody benefits from sharing all this code with one another. And that's really what it comes down to, right? We're using all these tools that that developers have, which make doing this sort of testing really easy. But we can use it in system administration world to make our jobs even easier. And that's really what Qcumn and RDOS is about, right? It's about building bridges between sysadmins and developers and increasing the collaboration and cooperation between them to build better tools to make our lives easier. Thank you. Oh, yeah, sure. Do you have any questions?
We've just got a couple of minutes, so just a few questions.
Lindsay?
Oh. Yes.
So one thing I've noticed is there's going to start being a lot of overlap in what people are going to be testing. Like, you know, you've got some of the web-based tests, which are pretty simple, and a lot of those are going to be very similar. You're going to have to start people testing mail servers and MySQL servers. Have you thought about having a sort of a sub-project, which is a repository of common and standard tests?
Yeah. So it's funny, when I started talking about this behavior-driven infrastructure stuff, Adam Jacobs from OpsCode, who are the guys that developed Chef, piped up and said, actually, we already have a bunch of tests that do, you know, 90% of this already, or maybe not 90%, but certainly a large percentage. And the plan for now is to integrate everything into Qcumn and RDOS, and then later on, once we reach a certain size, we'll spin it out into a separate project. And then for the users of Qcumn and RDOS, that'll be completely transparent. You just run the generator again, and it will build a new list of dependencies that it's got to pull in. You run the bundler, and then everything's there. Oh, cool.
Yeah, my question is regarding timing. For each of the steps, obviously, in a conversation or behavior-driven monitoring, you need to obviously have specific thresholds and parameters for each of those steps. How do you manage that in the in your Qcumn?
Yep. The steps, the slides that I actually forgot to include were, we have benchmarking steps within Qcumn and RDOS. So you can say, given I'm taking the time now and I execute all these steps, then 5 seconds should have elapsed. It should be less than 5 seconds should have elapsed. And then if that doesn't evaluate as being true, then it will raise an exception and you'll get a notification. Yes, that's right. So the question was, will that happen immediately? So when the step fails, it immediately aborts from executing any of the steps afterwards. So it's procedural, right? It has to run all the way through. So that will fail, and then your monitoring system will just pick that up and notify and do whatever.
Okay, last question.
One quick follow-up. Does it abort? Like, does it time out? So the thing that's going to take 20 seconds, it stops it at 5 and then errors?
No, actually, for the moment, which is sort of bad and something that I want to fix. Because obviously, if you've got sort of some long-running web request and it's blocking up everything else, that's bad. So you want to set a timeout on that sort of thing.
So the question was performance metrics. There's the Nagios plugin format. There's a semicolon, and then you give data.
Yep.
And that's very nice to graph. There's a few tools that do that. Do you have any plans, or have you already added that and you just took it out of the slides?
So at the moment, it just outputs the number of failed and passed steps in the Nagios plugin format, or the Nagios statistic collection format. But I think it does make a lot of sense to include the overall step execution time at the end there. So that should just be another thing that should be graphed. It makes a lot of sense. I'll go and write the feature and publish a new gem today.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Thank you.